Father, as we open the word of the Lord, we ask you to bless it. Bless your word and bless every heart. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you'd be present to teach and explain in your name. Amen. We're going to have communion at the end of the sermon today. Let's just change it around a little bit. And so it won't be a long message, but I'm going to continue on from what we talked about last week. Do you remember what we were talking about? Disputable matters. Should you have the COVID vaccine or not, you know, as a Christian? And the Lord, what we said last week was, the Lord can lead people to do different things because people are different. It's just like how with your own children, you might do different things with different children because the children are not the same. One child might be lazy, so you give them extra jobs. The lazy one might complain, why am I getting extra jobs? It's because they're lazy. You're teaching them. Another child might be studious. You give them less jobs. Well, God, in his great wisdom, leads us sometimes uniquely. And we have to have room for God to do that. What that means is when God calls one person to a life of sacrifice and great difficulty, like Job or Jeremiah, and then he calls someone else to a life of great privilege and blessings, like Abraham. Now, Abraham had a few challenges too, but Abraham had the wealth and the honour, and it's the same God. And you could be Jeremiah. The Lord said to Jeremiah in chapter 14 or 15 of Jeremiah, he said, "You shall not marry and you shall not have children." And you can read it, why the Lord decided that. You could be Jeremiah and saying, why? Why, God? Why would you do that to me? Why can't I be Abraham? Why can't I have all the blessings and the privileges and the... Why can't I be, you know, one of the luckily blessed ones? Well, the Lord does different things with different people. And it will all even out in heaven. All right? So you've got to have eyes on the eternal. If you're looking around and comparing yourselves to other people, that's not what you should be doing. And so we humans, we tend to compare ourselves to others around us. And one of the things we do that we think that we've heard the Lord right, and we think everyone should be doing it our way. That's what we do as Christians, right? So the Lord gives someone a word that they can't have the COVID vaccine. And then they're telling everyone else, you can't have it too. But it's actually okay for some people. The Lord didn't give them that word. But then there's some people who are, back when COVID was the thing, they're taking the vaccine with no problems. And they're saying to others, what's your hang up? It's just a vaccine. What's the big deal? Well, no, the Lord told them not to. So last week, we got started on this topic of what's called disputable matters. These are things, it's called disputable, but it's actually called that because you're not to dispute about them. There are some things which are indisputable matters. There are some things which are so clear in the Bible, like Jesus is the Lord, that if someone was to dispute about that, you set them straight. In other words, you do dispute the indisputable things. If someone's going to fight you and say, Jesus isn't the Lord, you say, hang on here. No, he's the Lord. We're following him. But if someone's going to dispute an indisputable matter, we let it go because it's something that's not worth disputing about. Our love for one another is more important than those differences, and those differences are okay to be there. And there's lots of them in the body of Christ. There are heaps of disputable matters, and I mentioned a current one last week, which was which version of the Bible you should be reading. For some reason, some people feel very strongly convicted that the King James Version is the only one. Well, if you feel that way, we're happy for you, but people have different perspectives on it, and that's one of those areas where it's okay. I personally like to read the more modern versions that I can understand better rather than reading Shakespeare, which is what the King James Version is. It's Shakespearean English. And anyway, at risk me getting into a disputable matter and making something out of it, we won't go there. God bless you. If you love the King James Version, you know, enjoy it because it does speak to people. It's got the old language. It really moves people's hearts, and the Lord will use it and he's smart like that. Anyway, moving on with disputable matters, there are dangers. And it's not just the obvious danger of brethren splitting up over differences. That's an obvious danger we mentioned last week. Don't do it. Other Christians are allowed to be different to you. But there are some other dangers that I think are also equally big and maybe even bigger. And I was hoping to get to them last week because I didn't want to leave this topic with a few things unsaid, but we had to. Now, there are at least two really big dangers. And here's one. What happens when a Christian has a conviction about something, but they didn't get it from the Lord? What if they just got that conviction from the YouTube algorithm? You know what I'm trying to say? What happens if someone's gone down a rabbit hole in their mind and their thoughts and is not the Lord? Okay, so that's one big danger right there. And that leads to all sorts of interesting things. First of all, it leads to Christians going around saying, God said this and he didn't say it. All right, so that is a huge big danger. And the other big danger, both of these are worth taking some time over, but we don't have the time. The other really big danger that I can see is all about what people perceive as their rights. You see, because the minute you say, oh, we're allowed to be different, what some people say is, I'm allowed to be the way I am because of this thing in the Bible, indisputable matter, so I'm allowed to be the way I am. And that's actually not what Paul was saying. We only got to verse 2 of the passage. We didn't get all the way through and read the other things that Paul was saying. If it's not important enough, okay, disputable matters are not important enough to argue about. They're low down on the scale. That means you let it go. And that being the case, it's not important enough for you to demand your rights. So let's say, for example, here's an example. We've got one Christian that believes you can drink alcohol and that's okay. You've got another Christian that believes that's struggling with alcohol. Let's say they've come out of AA. They've come out of Alcoholics Anonymous, or they've been an alcoholic in the past. They've grown up in a difficult family and they believe they've got to avoid alcohol at all costs. But this other Christian says, I'm allowed to have alcohol. In that case, no, you're not. In that case, this brother that knows he can have alcohol should actually give up his rights because he's with the other one who's weaker in faith. And this is what the whole passage is about. Yes, the Lord will lead you in different ways, but you might actually have to give up your conviction. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Someone might feel like, oh, I'm strong, I can have the COVID vaccine. But there might be someone really struggling with it. And this happened to me during COVID. I had the vaccine, but when I was around that person, I just shut up. Because I knew it would have created, if nothing else, it would have created a difficult situation or an argument, and let's just not have it. For the sake of the other person, give up your rights. So the big danger, yes, you're allowed to be led by the Lord differently, but sometimes you've actually got to give up your conviction for the sake of the other person. And because the alcohol one is a really good example of that, whereas you can, if someone's really, you can see how within that situation why Paul called one group those with weak faith. And I said last week, it's not that they're actually weak. Their convictions are actually strong. But it's because they can't break their conviction and have the alcohol, or they can't break their conviction and eat the meat that was sacrificed to idols in the Bible example. They can't break that conviction, but the other person can definitely let go of theirs. The one that's strong, the one that says, I can have alcohol, or the one that says, I can eat that meat that was sacrificed to the God in the temple. I can eat that, it doesn't hurt me. Their conviction is strong. For the sake of the other, they can let it go. And you can see how the harmony of believers is actually the most important thing. And in the church in Rome, they've got these two groups of people that Paul called them the weak and the strong. It actually was the Jews and the Gentiles. The Jews were actually the weak. Now, in the illustration, the Jews were the weak, because the Jews were the ones that had the Old Testament, where they had examples like Daniel. You know Daniel in the lion's den? Daniel went into Babylon and he wouldn't eat the meat that was sacrificed to the Babylonian gods. And because he set that example, and then there's the Old Testament laws in Leviticus about, not eating pork. And there's things like this in the Old Testament. And the Jews had these convictions so strongly. Then we get to the church in Rome. And what happened in Rome was this really interesting thing, was there was an emperor called, pretty sure it was Claudius. It's mentioned somewhere in the Bible, where Claudius, for some reason, didn't like Jewish people and kicked them all out of Rome. So he emptied the city of Rome of Jewish people in like the 40s or the 50s. And it was right around that time that the church was getting started. So the church in Rome ended up being filled with all these people that were not Jewish. And Priscilla and Aquila, you might have heard of them, they were some of these Jews that were in Rome that got kicked out. And they ended up in Corinth, and that's where Paul met them. And that might be where it says that they were kicked out because of Claudius. So anyway, the church in Rome ends up getting started as a very non-Jewish type of church, different to a lot of the other churches in ancient times. A lot of the other churches started with the Jews, because Paul or whoever would go to the synagogue and there's all the believers in God, and he would show them, hey, Jesus is the Messiah. Some would believe and some wouldn't, but a church would start. And all the early Christians, all of them were Jewish, and they all had the Old Testament beliefs and convictions. But every now and then you'd have a non-Jewish person get saved, and in Rome you had a bunch of them. And so Paul has never been to Rome, but he knows about these people. He's written them a letter, and he knows the big issue in Rome is you have the church that gets started in this like non-Jewishy way, and they're just being Christians in the normal way they know. They're going down to the meat market, buying the steak for the day, which has been sacrificed to gods in the temple, but it doesn't matter. You know, they're not real. Only God in heaven is real, and we can eat this meat if we want. And their consciences don't trouble them at all. But then Jews start joining the church. You can't eat that meat. It's been sacrificed to whoever, some ancient Roman god. And so the Jews have the conviction, but the Gentiles are untouched by it. And you can see God is kind of in both of them. And Paul calls the Jewish people the weak, because they can't easily give up their conviction. Like, you could say to them, nah, just eat it anyway, it doesn't matter. They just can't. Now the Lord could maybe lead and deliver them from it, but it was just too big of a thing. And Paul is actually saying to the Jewish Gentiles, you're the strong ones. Sorry, saying to the Gentile Christians, you're the strong. For the sake of those others, just don't eat the meat. Now, what would you do? You know what I would do? I'd eat it when I was at home on my own or with my family, and I'd say, don't talk about it at church. Because it's okay, right? So if we had a bunch of people join the church that were, say, from AA, they'd got saved, they'd come out of an alcoholic background, for their sake, we wouldn't want to be talking about alcohol a lot, right? Because why? We care about them. This is what Christianity is about. It's about caring about others. So yes, you can have a conviction about something, but you're not allowed to cling to your rights. You're just not allowed to. You're not allowed to say, I have my rights, I'm following God, I can do this. Not if it hurts another person, you can't. And there are Christians all around the world that cling to their rights, and they might be right about what they're saying, but they're wrong about clinging to their rights. That's not the style of Jesus. Now, there are some things you do cling to. There's some things you do cling to, like Jesus is the Lord. You know, there are the indisputable things. You cling to them no matter what. If you get sent to jail, if you get persecuted, there are things you cling to, and you'll fight over them because they're indisputable. But with these lesser matters, don't let them come between you and another believer. In fact, it's better to give up what you think for the sake of them. In fact, in the book of Romans, Paul has some of these one another verses. I think maybe the person on words, Sarah, are you able to pop that picture up? In the book of Romans, I found six of them. All the way through the Bible, there are these one another passages. Well, here's six of them from the book of Romans. And think about this. Don't think about it as just, oh, I'm a Christian. Like, look at this, Romans 12:10. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Don't think of that as that, oh, I'm just a Christian. Be devoted to one another. No. Think about it as a Gentile person. Be devoted to those Jewish people. Honor them above yourselves. Think of those Gentile, the Jewish people who have got all their... They're struggling to think that these Gentiles are not even saved. They're like living like heathens, basically. Like they go down to the meat market for goodness sake. But Paul is saying to the Jewish people, be devoted to those Gentile people that you don't understand and honor them above yourself. So this whole thing about differences is not about, oh, I'm allowed to be different, so haha, I'll do what I want. No. The differences are there because the Lord puts them there, but you must honor. Look at this, Romans 12. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. That one might have been for the Jews. They might not have been willing to associate with the Gentiles because they're scum in God's eyes. You know, that's what they were thinking. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continued debt to love one another. And look at this. For whoever loves has fulfilled the law. He's talking to the Jews. If you treat these Gentile people with love, you fulfill God's law. The whole book of Romans is written to Jews and Gentiles, to two groups of people. And all these passages are speaking to these two groups. Look at this. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not. And the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does. See, there you go. This is what I'm saying. For God has accepted them. Summary, do not judge one another. So I just summarize the verse like that. People are different to you. Don't you dare judge them. Don't you condemn them. Don't you look down on them. God has accepted them. And then, of course, the classic, Romans 15, accept one another. You Jews accept you Gentiles. You Gentiles accept you Jews. Accept one another because Jesus has accepted you. You can't get any clearer than that. If the Lord accepts them, you accept them too. And, of course, greet one another with a holy kiss. It's, you know, fun little verse there. That's another one another verse. So I guess there are holy kisses and unholy kisses. We tend to not do any of them here in our church, and that's okay. You can greet one another with a holy handshake, maybe a holy hug. So I think the holiness comes from the aspect that it's you're doing it in the name of the Lord. You're not. It's just not a regular greeting. It's because you're greeting them with the Lord. The Lord is in them. The Lord is in you. You're accepted. There's something really holy about it. So you can go to churches in South America or in parts of Europe and get those holy kisses two or three times. All right. There's one other danger here, and I'll just quickly cover it, and then we're going to have communion. This other danger comes right from the Ten Commandments. It's Exodus chapter 20. Verse 5. I don't think I've got it here in my notes. Do we have Exodus on the screen? Exodus 20, I think it's verse 5. It's the third of the Ten Commandments, 27. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. This is actually talking about exactly what we're talking about. Some versions say you shall not use the Lord's name in vain, right? And we think that means, oh, don't say Jesus as a swear word, you know? We think that's what it means. Well, it can mean that. That's kind of a base level meaning. Don't use Jesus or God's name in vain like that. Definitely don't use it as a swear word. But no, the way that Christians do it, we don't tend to use it as his name as a swear word, but Christians do break this commandment all the time. What we do is we go on YouTube or we go on places, we get a conviction about something, and we go around saying, God told me to do it. God told me to do it. God told me to do it. And he didn't. We're misusing the Lord's name in vain, and God hates it when people go around saying, God told me to do this and he didn't tell you to do it, and you're misrepresenting him. And Christians do it all the time. If you have a conviction and you didn't get it directly from God, don't say God told you. Okay? Maybe you should pray about it. Lord, is this you? Sometimes we do think we get a conviction from the Lord, like we're reading our Bible and we get a sense that, oh, the Lord is speaking. Well, it's quite possibly he is. What I like to do is I like to say, I feel like the Lord is leading me to do this. So I often leave room for the fact that I know I make mistakes because I don't like to take the Lord's name in vain. So as a Christian, you are free to have different convictions to others. We're free to be led by the Lord here at Peace to do things one way, and you know, at a different church, they can do things a different way, and there's a variety, and God can be even be in that variety, but sometimes the variety is just human. It's not God. And that's okay too. It's actually, I think it's wonderful that there's human variety in the world. It's what, that actually is the Lord indirectly, because God made so many different types of people. And, you know, you see someone, they're doing things their way, it's their personality, and it personally just makes me happy that the Lord has put so many different types of people in the world, and they are them, and it's glorious in my mind to see what God has done. Sometimes those differences, though, are just human. It's not God specifically putting those differences there like he said. It's just humans being themselves. So there might be another church that will only, they won't have drums. They feel like drums are from the devil. Is the Lord leading them to do that, or is that just a human thing? Well, I don't know, but it's okay. It doesn't matter much. Loving them is more important than the difference. But if they were going to go around and saying, God said, and they're making a big fuss, God said, you shall not use drums in church, it's the devil. Well, that possibly is using God's name in vain. You know, there are some people that say there's you're not allowed to use musical instruments to worship the Lord. God doesn't want it. Well, that's not true. It just isn't true. The Bible is full of music. King David, he played that harp, love the Lord. What about that psalm, praise him on the stringed instruments? No, there are things that sometimes people get wrong, and pastors in particular need to be able to correct people. So at the same time people are free to be different, pastors and church leaders also need to teach people what the Bible says and sometimes correct people. So yes, what I would say is that even though there's this freedom here to be different, at the same time, you've got to walk with the Lord. You've got to know you're hearing him. You've got to remain open to correction. You've got to be teachable, because sometimes you will be wrong. There isn't a person that isn't at times wrong. I've been corrected many times in my life, and not only by my father. Sometimes I've had people in the church. Sometimes I've had people on YouTube have commented, very intelligent comments, and they've made an observation about something that was said that wasn't right. What do I say to people like that? Thank you. Thank you for pointing that out. I didn't realise. Can't change the video, but at least we can note it in the description that this was wrong. Next time we talk about it, it'll be correct. Appreciation when someone is helping you to be better. All right? No one likes to be corrected. I don't either. But we've got to be teachable. All right, so that's the end of the sermon. We can get the band to come back. We're going to gather around the Lord's table. But in summary, there are dangers. On one hand, we want to give each other freedom. But the dangers are that you take the Lord's name in vain. You use his name as your excuse to do whatever you want. It's not okay. Another danger is you cling to your rights and you're not mindful of other people's needs. And a third danger is being unteachable and stubborn and not willing to listen when someone might want to help you out. So can we keep our hearts clean before the Lord and clean before each other and walk together in love? Those Jews and Gentiles, man, that was a big struggle for them to learn to accept one another. But, you know, in time it worked out. Well, our struggles are not that big, thank God.